Earth and Sky.
You know, we can say a certain amount about plant evolution by studying living plants. But if we really want to kind of calibrate the tempo of evolution, we need to test our ideas from living plants based on what the fossil record tells us, based on the direct evidence from the past.
This is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science, and you're listening to Sir Peter Crane, a paleobotanist at the University of Chicago. Crane specializes in the study of fossilized flowers. He spoke with Earth Sky's Beth Lebwohl about the lessons he thinks prehistoric blossoms hold for our modern world.
For me, it's difficult to understand what a fossil flower looks like and how does it come to be preserved. What are you working with?
You know, sometimes in the spring when some of the trees come into flower, and then pollination occurs, and then some of those flowers will go on to develop into fruits, but a lot of them won't get pollinated or won't develop for one reason or another, and they're shed in huge numbers. Thousands and thousands of aborted flowers lying on the pavement. So you can imagine that happening in a natural forest. And then perhaps later in the year, a forest fire comes through, burns up the trees, burns up the shrubs, burns the litter lying on the forest floor, and changes these tiny flowers to charcoal. And so when you look at them, when we get them out of the rocks, they're very tiny, they're black, they're shiny, just like a piece of modern charcoal, and they're very brittle, they're rather delicate, but they're exquisitely preserved.
So what are you looking for in those fossils? And what kind of tests do you run on them?
We're trying to look for really well-preserved material to see how it relates to the plants of today. So the material that we're looking at might be some of the oldest material we have. It's about 120 million years old. And then we have material running through to about, let's say, 80 million years old. So this is the phase at which flowering plants initially diversified. And so just as in the same way as studying animal fossils, we're interested in what the fossils tell us about the evolution of living plants. So we're interested in comparing these fossil flowers with their living relatives. And we can do that by observing their structure. So we can see the structure of these well-preserved charcoalified flowers very well using pretty basic microscopic techniques, particularly scanning electron microscopy, which allows us to see in detail the outer surface of this material. And then having figured out the structure of the fossil flowers, we can then go to living plants and ask, to what group of living plants do these fossils belong? Can they be related?
What's the most important thing that you've discovered in the past year about flowers?
Well, I think most recently we've been working on a small flower from about 120 million years ago that seems to be very closely related to modern water lilies. We published a preliminary report on this flower some time ago in the journal Nature, and the interest of this flower was that it appeared to us to be very similar to the flowers of some modern water lilies. And the importance of that is that various predictions made by studying living plants had predicted that water lilies should be a very ancient group. So this was, if you like, a corroboration of that idea. And most recently, we've been studying it with a new technique that involves micro CT scans of the individual specimen so that we can actually look inside it and see how the seeds are born and other details of internal structure. And they basically corroborate the idea that this thing is close to a modern water lily.
I think to the average person, a flower, a tree, a plant, it's almost ornamental. Why is this relevant to the average person?
I think that's a very good question to ask. Why is it relevant? I mean, I think it's relevant at various levels. So at one level, I think these kinds of discoveries, whether they're Tyrannosaurus rex or whether they're trilobites or whether they're ancient flowers, give us a broader sense of the way life has evolved on this planet, and indeed, we're obviously part of that. Second, I think plants are particularly important because plants are, after all, the foundations of our modern ecosystems. So to understand why modern ecosystems are the way they are, you really need to understand how plants have come to be the way they are. I mean, all animal communities are fundamentally dependent on plants, on the sun's energy, which plants harvest and turn into chemical energy that animals can use. So understanding plant evolution, I think, is particularly important. But for me, what's really kind of compelling here is to understand that there have been lineages of plants on this planet that have survived for 120 million years. And our tenure on this planet has been rather shorter. Yet the changes that we're inflicting on the planet are very dramatic and very sudden. And I'll give you a very specific example. I mean, the water lilies are not a very diverse group today. And some of those plants in the water lily group are not in great shape in terms of their modern distribution. So, for example, there's a giant water lily that's used to be quite widespread in Asia that's an absolutely marvelous, wonderful plant, and yet it's highly endangered today, largely as a result of man-made alterations in the hydrology of the environments in which that plant lives. And so I think the study of these fossils helps to put that threat, if you like, that contemporary water lily faces into a broader historical context. People often ask me, well, this the same question that you've asked, well, what do you take home from your studies about the present day? And what I take home is that our tenure has been relatively short. The changes that we're inflicting on the planet are happening very quickly. We're changing our environment enormously fast. And in the process, the collateral damage is being forced upon a whole range of lineages that have been on this planet a lot longer than we have.
You've been listening to Sir Peter Crane, a paleobotanist at the University of Chicago and former director of the Royal Botanic Gardens in Kew, London. You can subscribe to this and other free science podcasts at the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar, and you're listening to Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.